Today on Seculo, Comrade Rashida Tlaib pushes anti-Semitism once again, this time in front of the Democratic Socialist National Convention.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
I know you all understand the structure we've been living under right now is designed by those that exploit the rest of us for their own profit. I always say to people, you know, I don't care if it's the issue around global human rights and our fight to free Palestine or to pushing back against those that don't believe in a minimum wage.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
I tell people, those same people, that if you open the curtain and look behind the curtain, it's the same people that make money, and yes, they do, off of racism, off of these broken policies. There is someone there making money, and you saw it.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And who do we think is behind the curtain? And what is, I mean, this is, goes back to the Council of Zion, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that there's some force behind everything that is pulling the strings, if you will, the puppet strings, the puppeteers, and they have been depicted throughout time and with anti-Semitic in cartoons and these statements. Yep. It is Jews. That's what she's referring to. It's why she has to implicate Gaza and Detroit. She can't just talk about Detroit, you've got to include Gaza, so it's clear what she's saying. I am talking about Jews here. This is, again, comes at a time where Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Detroit, has put forward a letter, and it's signed by six additional other members of Congress as well, asking the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, to revoke the tax-exempt status of pro-Israel organizations. Why do we call them pro-Israel? Because she says it's only the organizations that are supporting the kind of building structures for Jews in territories like the West Bank. But if you actually look at how she defines what it means to be part of these groups, she includes East Jerusalem. Folks, including East Jerusalem, includes the Western Wall, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and the list goes on. If you're a tourist to Israel, or you have taken a tour to Israel before, and all that you saw in Jerusalem, for the most part, is in East Jerusalem. So she's including that as to say that any groups, that would include the ACLJ, should have their tax-exempt status revoked.
In her view, because we represent the Gush Etzion Foundation, which is one of the largest areas that are deemed settlements. Now, these have been around for a long time, and they are 60, 70,000 people living there. Now, this is not territory that was just, you know, out of nowhere became part of the Jewish state. It was part of, it's been part of Israel since, it's Judea and Samaria. For those of you that know the scriptures, it's Judea and Samaria. That's what we're talking about. And to her, that means it's occupied territory. And of course, the Biden administration uses that occupied territory too. But you know, Andy, what I'm finding interesting here is they're going right back to the IRS targeting Tea Party approach that we beat them on last time, but they're going right back to it. We'll get to what they asked for in this letter in a minute, but it's the same approach.
Well, that is. It's establishing another BOLO list, Jay, another list of people who we need to target, who we need to look at, who we need to attack, who we need to focus on because of their charitable work in territories and areas and in concerns that we do not like and that we are going to oppose and ask the Secretary of the Treasury to start investigating and examining them. So it's back to being exactly what we defeated in our successful attempts against the Treasury, in our successful effort against the IRS before. We're now turning the clock back again.
You know what, folks? There's a lot to talk about here. This was in an address, too, as we said earlier.
Which is unreal.
The Democrat Socialist Convention, their theme was, from the ashes of the old socialism for a new tomorrow. Now, don't worry, they didn't gather in person. Of course, they gathered via Zoom.
But it was welcome, comrades.
But it starts off with welcome, comrades. We're going to play it for you when we come back. It was in the open, just so you get the context again and understand that in the midst of this, she is trying to have groups in the U.S. tax-exempt status revoked over her idea of international law. Not U.S. law, international law. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Hey! At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. So I want to put this into context. Why are we talking about the state? It's not just because Rashida Tlaib said something again that was anti-Semitic with this statement that, quote, if you open the curtain and look behind the curtain, it's the same people that make money, and yes, they do off of racism, off these broken policies. There's someone there making money. They do it from Gaza to Detroit. It's a way to control people, to oppress people, and it's these structures that we continue to fight against. All of the major Jewish groups in the U.S. immediately coming out to condemn this statement. They know exactly what she means. They know the danger of what this means. I want to play for you where she made the statement, but then there is context to why we're talking about it. It's not just because another squad member's made another racist, anti-Semitic statement. We're kind of, you know, at the point is there. I don't want to elevate every time they do that. But she is specifically getting attention because she has filed along seven Democrats. She's one of those who have written a letter to Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen on revoking the tax-exempt status of American charities that support Israeli settlements. She includes in there East Jerusalem, our office in Israel, right on the line.
Right on the line.
Right on the line between what was considered East and West Jerusalem.
Before the 67 war.
Yes. I mean, this to me, it's not, they never narrow it down to actually just the groups that are in the West Bank, which again would still be wrong in my opinion.
Yes.
But they make it so broad that basically there's not a Jewish group in this country, there's not a pro-Israel group in this country that doesn't believe that Israel should keep
Judea and Samaria,
especially East Jerusalem.
No question.
The other part's negotiable. Yeah, there's parts
that are
negotiable.
They've always talked about that, you know, negotiating trade, they call them trades, that you negotiate
but not,
trades
not
for
Jerusalem.
Peace. No, not Jerusalem. They're not going to divide Jerusalem. But you want to go ahead and play?
Yeah,
let's
say
it, and then we're going to set this up.
So the Democrat Socialist, Bernie Sanders' party, Tlaib's party.
It really exists, folks.
It exists. It's real, and it's actually, I mean, they have more representation in Congress now, probably, than, including in the U.S. Senate, than probably in their whole history.
Yeah.
But here's Dave Pinkham. He is welcoming the group. They had their convention via Zoom this year. Take a listen.
Good evening, comrades. I hope everyone is having a very wonderful end to the first day of their 2021 convention.
And Rashida Tlaib was the keynote speaker for that first day. And here's the statement where she makes all of the anti-Semitic tropes, uses the language. Then we'll play. Then we can read for you her response, which, of course, she's not apologizing.
I know you all understand the structure we've been living under right now is designed by those that exploit the rest of us for their own profit. I always say to people, you know, I don't care if it's the issue around global human rights and our fight to free Palestine or to pushing back against those that don't believe in a minimum wage or those that believe that people have a right to health care and so much more. And I tell people, those same people, that if you open the curtain and look behind the curtain, it's the same people that make money, and yes, they do, off of racism, off of these broken policies. There is someone there making money, and you saw it.
You know, right there, again, we read that for you. We've played the statement. Harry, this is a member of Congress that has regularly used these veiled shots at Jews, whether they are Jews in America or Jews around the world in Israel, and she makes no mistake about it. She knows exactly what she's doing. She is not uneducated. She is really she's a lead activist in the pro-Palestinian world, going so far as to utilize the Treasury Secretary to try to harass pro-Israel groups inside the United States. So she knows what she's laying out to these people who have been attracted to this democratic socialism movement through people like Bernie Sanders, and the radicalism just seems to be increasing as these parties gain more significance and importance in American political life.
Jordan, you are absolutely correct. Rashida Tlaib's anti-Semitism and her class hatred recalls Vladimir Lenin's commitment to hatred that led to the Bolshevik Revolution, the slaughter of more than 40 million people as part of the age of social catastrophe that includes the Nazi terror. Every American ought to take seriously what Tlaib is advocating. Her approach is plain and simple bigotry. Tlaib and her socialist comrades have taken it up a notch by sending a letter to Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen. She is targeting the tax-exempt status of pro-Israeli groups, just like Lois Lerner targeted Tea Party groups and conservative groups in the past. And the ACLJ has fought Lois Lerner and the IRS and won before, and I think we need to basically be prepared to fight on this terrain again. So no one should sleep on what Rashida Tlaib has said. We should all be activated. We should all be energized, and we should respond vigorously.
Here's what they said, Andy. The United States government, as a party to the Fourth Geneva Convention under our customary international law, has a duty to not encourage or recognize violations of international humanitarian law or peremptory norms, and must act to end violations of international humanitarian law. And then she says these tax-exempt nonprofit status of these groups and their U.S. donors effectively subsidized from the U.S. government to support serious breaches of international law. Now, I don't know who taught her international law, but as someone that has, and you've had this experience too, as people that have lawyers that have appeared before international tribunals, first of all, the argument that this is Israeli sovereign territory is very clear. Now, the anti-Israel forces disagree with that. But this idea that if you support a position here, that, for instance, the West Bank and the East Jerusalem, as Jordan mentions, is part of Israel, and that the settlements, as they call them, these towns that have developed over the last, by the way, 60 years, are somehow violating international law, and then you're going to create a list. Because one of the things they ask them to do, we were going to go over this in the last segment, is, do you intend to examine the 501c3 status of, and they list these groups, because of their activities in the occupied West Bank and including East Jerusalem? Now, we have been to East Jerusalem. We've been in the occupied West Bank, as they call it. It's not the occupied West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria. But it's wrong under international law. But it is really wrong to have the IRS targeting once again groups based on their policy position.
Well, that's absolutely right, Jay. We're back again to something that we won, and I thought was conclusive that we had won it, and that is to keep the Internal Revenue Service out of targeting groups because of their conscience, their belief, their legal positions, and the things that they believe to be the case. And here is another situation in which we're now resurrecting the Bolo list. be on the lookout list, and saying that if you're a C3 organization or a charitable organization in the United States and you support the Israeli position, the Jewish position, which happens to be the biblical position too, I might say, Judea and Samaria are part of what is today modern Israel. There is no occupied territories. Judea, Samaria, what they call the West Bank of the Jordan River, are all Israeli territories. The deed book, the Holy Bible, prescribes that. And now what we're trying to do is to undo that by having the United States of America on its own disenfranchise these, that's really what it is to neutralize and disenfranchise charitable organizations who have taken up the cause of these Israeli positions, which are justified historically. That's the important thing here.
Right.
And no one seems to want to look at that. Look at the play of history. These are his Judea and Samaria. Read the Bible. Jesus preached in Judea and Samaria. This was part of a Jewish nation. It is part of a Jewish nation today. We need to recognize that.
So we're not going to let the Tlaib crowd and the National Democratic Socialist a letter to Secretary Yellen go unanswered. I'm holding in my hand, now this is the draft, we're still working on this, a multi-page letter that is a legal brief, actually, that is going to Secretary Yellen saying basically they're wrong, and that if they start targeting individual groups again based on the positions they advocate as to the nation of Israel, that we will take legal action. We've done that before. This isn't new for us. We have been down this road before. But you understand that they're promoting this at an organization called the National Democratic Socialist Convention. It is for real, folks.
Yeah, it is real. What we're playing for, the sound, this gatherings. And I will tell you to not laugh it off because, again, the 7 members of Congress would sign on to a letter like that. That would go after so many organizations in the United States, and they know exactly what that means by including East Jerusalem there. They specifically do that. They say including East Jerusalem because they don't want it to just say, oh, it's just the groups of the West Bank or the conflict that's going on in Gaza. No, that's not what this is about. This is about she does not see Israel as a Jewish state. She does not want to see it to continue as a Jewish state. And so she wants the abolishment of the Israel that we know today as our ally. She is a radical in support of these terrorist organizations. And she continues to double down because she's in a safe political district where she's able to take these positions. And I will tell you, folks, this is what happens after decades of indoctrination in education in the United States, pushing this on people in colleges. It doesn't last with everyone, but you're starting to see the ramifications of when it does last with these activist members of Congress that have been elected.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
By the way, there's been, of course, criticism of what Congresswoman Tlaib had said at this Democratic Socialist Convention with her comrades. And here's her response. Again, no apology. No matter how much people who support oppression try to police my words or twist my commitment to justice, I will always center love. The attempts to silence me won't work. My words are truth to power, and bringing our movements together scares those who support the status quo. I just don't understand why people who love the freedom, love the idea of not silencing people, why they only want to do is silence people. Because at the same time she's tweeting out, you know, free speech for everybody, let's fight, you know, fight for our freedoms of speech. They don't believe that. That's why she's a socialist.
Of course.
And not just a regular member of the Democrat Party.
Of course.
Socialists believe in controlling the message, controlling who gets to speak, controlling who gets to be the voice. She does not believe that our voice should have the same treatment that her voice has. In fact, she's writing letters to the Treasury Secretary to penalize us or revoke our, to make it almost impossible for us to exist and have the voice we have so that we can live in a country where we can take opposing views and still exist.
No, the fact of the matter, you're right. The fact of the matter is this. In her world, in Tlaib's world, people like us don't get to exist. We don't get to make our point. But I will tell you this, because of the support of our many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of members to the American Center for Law and Justice, and our ability to advocate not just in the United States, but in international tribunals around the globe. It was just, we were just there, folks. We've been at the ICC more than most lawyers in the United States, that's for sure. And let me just tell you this. Those are not tribunals you want to have to be before, just to be honest. We did it because you go where you have to go, even if it's difficult. But let me tell you this. Their letter ignores history. It ignores the 1967 war when Israel was attacked by its Arab neighbors. And East Jerusalem, in that attack, which, it, by the way, had a Jewish presence for 4,000 years. We wrote a book about it called Jerusalem. The fact of the matter is that if you look at history, and I'm not talking about ancient history, Andy. I'm talking about 1967. We've been to the battle sites. Okay? The Jordanians evacuated East Jerusalem during the 67 war, and Israel reclaimed the property that it was rightfully theirs in the first place.
That's a good way to put it, Jay, and it's a correct way to put it. It's a way that needs to be put because it is the correct way historically to look at this. Palestine, as such, was a Roman province, okay? Palestine, as such, does not exist today, and we have to realize that. It is now the Jewish state of Israel established in 1948. And the presence of Israelis, of Jews, in West Jerusalem is a historical factor going back over 4,000 years. And as you say, what Israel did in 1967 when it was attacked en masse by its Arab neighbors was to reclaim what was its own land, biblically donated, biblically given, biblically bequested to the Israelis, to the Jews. And they are simply back again where they belong to be, and they will need to stay there. And we will see to it that they do, and that there is a homeland. And Representative Tlaib's protestations to the contrary, notwithstanding, the United States must never be used as a tool, and that's what she's trying to do, to suppress our views and our attitudes towards these historical facts and realities.
Let's go to the phones. Rachel called in from New York. Hey, Rachel, welcome to Secular. You are on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm just wondering, I mean, it's really good and educational to talk about this, but what are we doing to tangibly take action? I mean, because it's been going on for a long, long time, and the forwarding of a socialist agenda is not... You know, it's kind of scary
if you know.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I will say one thing. I wouldn't call it theory anymore.
It's not theory, right.
Seven members of Congress have signed on to this letter, which, by the way, is a way to get this information to Ilhan Omar, who didn't sign the letter because they're asking it to go to her committee, which they're not on.
Right.
But it's not theory anymore. They're being elected to
do this.
Federal positions in the House and the U.S. Senate. Remember Bernie Sanders there too. And they're being elevated their voice. So theory, no more. Right. This is in reality. Practice. Yeah.
And the reality is what we do here is when we find out about these situations, we have an office in Washington that monitors all this. That's how we learn these things. We take action. We don't just talk about them. Of course, we're giving you analysis on this broadcast, but we take action. We sued the Internal Revenue Service when they went after conservative Tea Party groups. Do you think we will hesitate to sue the IRS if they start going against pro-Israel organizations? Not a hesitation. We will do it if necessary to defend what is free speech, freedom of association, and equal treatment under the law, which is something, Harry, that these groups on the other side don't really want to see in play.
Absolutely. So the socialists, they don't understand history. They don't understand international law. They don't understand the fact that Israel's current territory was one consistent with international law in wars that were largely launched by whom? The Arabs. They lost those wars, and now they're claiming, oh, it's illegal for Israel to retain what it has actually won. So I think in light of all of this, in light of the history of the socialists, in light of Tlaib's history, the ACLJ is prepared to sue if necessary in order to vindicate the free speech rights of pro-Israel yes. organizations, and we will not hesitate to do so in the future.
Yeah, and we've already started, by the way. We've got a team, Andy, that's already on this. We're going to first respond in writing because that's the first way to respond, since the IRS hasn't done anything yet. Maybe they don't. But we are responding in writing point by point against Tlaib's committees or the other congressmen. Their statements, we are challenging each and every one of them factually and legally.
Yes, you're right, Jay. And let me just say, I read the first draft of our response today, and we have young lawyers who are committed to this. We have older lawyers with the gray hair and the white hair like me and my colleague Harry Hutchison, who are also committed to this, looking at this from both perspectives, historically, legally, politically, socially, and in other ways, to make sure that our response answers all the false allegations that have been made by Tlaib and her cohorts. Her fellow comrades had the audacity in the United States of America in 2021 to attend a convention in which they're addressed as comrades, didn't say Americans, didn't say fellow human beings, but used the word comrades like we're back in 1950s with I Led Three Lives and Herbert Philbrick on television as the counter-espionage agent. We're back to using those terms again. We are going to oppose them, and we're going to do it in a reasoned, legal, logical way. We've already started that. I've read the letter. I'm impressed by the letter. I'm adding my edits to the letter, and we're going to proceed to respond to Secretary Yellen from what Tlaib has said to her.
You know, I think what has to be made clear here, too, as well, as we, again, get into this first half hour, is just the audacity of this group. They're not just making the political statements anymore to their friends and allies. That's one thing. But to put their names on a letter to the Treasury Secretary, utilizing complex theories of how international law should then include U.S. law to then make it illegal for groups to operate in the U.S. They would have to give up their tax exempt status if they support anything involving East Jerusalem or anything involving the West Bank. I think, folks, here's where we have to take a stand. We're doing the work at the ACLJ. Remember, we have a matching challenge month this month of August. Donate to the ACLJ if you can. You can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Fight for the right to live in freedom. keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So we are taking this on directly with what Rashida Tlaib has done. I did want to tell you what's coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. We were in this weekend. The team was in this weekend because our special counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, was in town, was able to come in on the weekend to do some filming with us for a documentary. But we also made sure to get him into the radio studio to do a segment that we could show today on the air. So you'll see, again, Secretary Pompeo on set with us in the studio, part of the team, talking about kind of a preview of the documentary, but hitting a lot of issues right now. That's coming up in the next segment. Then we'll rejoin you to finish out the show. I just wanted to make that clear to everybody why they'll see Mike Pompeo on the set.
So we've been talking about this letter from Congresswoman Tlaib requesting the IRS to Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, to start revoking the tax exempt status of pro-Israel organizations. And I said earlier they really haven't started doing that yet. Well, that's not true. Our producer reminded us. A group called Christians Engaged had their tax-exempt status initially denied, and this was the reason they gave. I'm going to read it. For example, you educate believers on national issues that are central to their beliefs in the Bible as the inerrant word of God. I can't even believe they write this stuff in the IRS. Specifically, you educate Christians on what the Bible says in areas that can be that they can be instrumental in, and then it says, including U.S. and Israel relations. That's what they said. So they already started doing this. Now, fortunately, it was overturned quickly. But the fact that I can't get over this, Andy, that the fact that the IRS would, in writing, write the words, inerrant word, Bible as the inerrant word of God, you're educating Christians on what the Bible says in these areas, including the U.S. and Israel. As if, why is the IRS engaging in this? We know why. It's hostility.
It is hostility. It's hostility to Christians. It's hostility to those who believe in the Bible as the word of God, as the kirigma, in Greek, the proclamation of the word of God. And it's hostility that is inherent in the bureaucracy of the Internal Revenue Service. God forbid that you should believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired word of God, and from that take a political position in favor of the Jewish state of Israel. What a terrible thing that is. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to suppress you from doing that by taking away your tax-exempt status, which means your funding and your associational rights are going to be deprived of you because of your free speech and your conscience. And this is still happening in the United States of America in the year 2021. Jay, I cannot believe this. It turns my stomach. Well, it makes me physically ill.
It's unbelievable because we went to federal court and beat the IRS for doing exactly what is being proposed right now. Harry?
Absolutely. And it's very important to note that the left wing in America, they believe in subordination, they believe in oppression, they believe in subjugation, so long as it advances their political power. And so here we have Rashida Tlaib. She asserts without any evidence that Israeli policy is a form of apartheid. At the same time, she celebrates the minimum wage laws which were introduced in pre-Mandela South Africa. Why? In order to displace black South Africans. As I have argued previously, these laws can often be seen as a form of subordination, racism, and suppression, and yet she is accusing Israel of precisely the policy that she supports. Rashida Tlaib has gotten her history, her economics, exactly backward. We ought to reject her and reject her vigorously.
All right, folks, we'll continue the discussion after we have something special for you, because Secretary Pompeo was here in our offices. We were filming some other things. It was over the weekend. We had our team in on Saturday. So as we do with the work of the ACLJ, and we also wanted to do a radio segment for you on set with Secretary Pompeo. So we did that. You'll see that or hear that in the next segment of the broadcast. And we'll be back live to wrap the show with you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. We all just left the studio moments ago, and we're now back on the set here in the radio set, talking. We're working on a documentary. It's going to be out in the fall, and we want to take an opportunity because we have a special member of our team is in studio with us today, regularly on the broadcast. But former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, joins us today in the studio. It's great to have you in the studio, yeah, Secretary Pompeo.
Should say in the studios because
we were in the studio next door
a moment ago.
It's so great to be with you.
We've been talking about a lot of issues today, but I did think it would be unique for people to know kind of a preview of what we were doing in there. Sure. And one of the first topics we went to, of course, was foreign policy. The issues that everyone is talking about right now, of course, China and how we hold China accountable. We've talked about on the radio broadcast. We got into some greater detail for our documentary coming out in the fall just a few minutes ago. But this idea that it always seems like it's like an uphill challenge to hold the Chinese in line. But as Secretary of State, you did that. I mean, what the ways to, if you were going to just fundamentally combat China on with the virus and what they're doing around the world, what they're doing in their region of the world as well, how does it, what does that look like for people?
It begins with a central understanding that they're a real threat. For 50 years, we viewed them as a partner, right, to build out the U.S. economy. Fair enough. Today, the Chinese Communist Party wants to undermine our very way of life here. And so that requires a fundamentally different conception of how we deal with them. This is what we did. So the president said, we want fair and equitable trade. So we put tariffs on. We said, you know, you're going to foist this virus on the world. We're going to close our borders to China. We kicked a bunch of Chinese spies out when I made the decision to close the Chinese consulate in Houston, Texas. Yeah. There are a number of actions, some of which we got done, many of which we were still working on, that have to take place.
In foreign policy also, of course, you can't, and we don't overlook the significant progress we made with the previous administration, with you and as Secretary of State, with the Middle East as well. That has always been a very challenging region of the world. But the progress that was made in the last previous 4 years, when you were Secretary of State, President Trump was the president, if you look at it historically, more progress was made in that 4 years than in the previous time since the State of Israel new independence in 1948. I always say the State of Israel existed a lot longer than 1948. But since its refounding, so to speak, the progress made in 4 years outdid 40 years.
Yeah,
but it is a challenging environment.
It's a very tough environment. It remains such. It took an administration that was prepared to upend decades of just trying to appease the Palestinians that was going to end in no good. They're not prepared to do any kind of deal to recognize Israel's right to exist. And we said, fine, we'd like your life to be better in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, but we're not going to let that stop us from building up peace. And so we punished the Iranian regime. We made friends with our Gulf allies, and we supported Israel in everything that we did, whether it was the movement of our embassy, the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem,
well, great move, that
or the recognition of the Golan Heights, or my statement about the fact that not every settlement is an occupation.
Right.
These core concepts built out a more stable, more prosperous Middle East that will change history, and I'm really proud of that.
One of my favorite moments in the White House was when the president signed the declaration on the Golan Heights.
Yeah.
I was there, and the president gave me one of the signed copies of the declaration. I was there with then Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and it was tremendous. You know, someone has been working on the Israel issues for 40 years. This was a culmination of a lot of hopes and prayers. But the reality that happened was very significant. And when everybody talked about it bringing destabilization to the region, it did the opposite.
The ultimate irony is, move the embassy to Jerusalem, right, There'll be war. Acknowledge the Golan Heights as the rightful property of the Israel state, there'll be war. Get out of the JCPOA, there will be war. We did all of those things. We were in no new wars.
I will never these are those stories you're going to forget, so you should never forget these. So I'm over there for the Jerusalem moving of the embassy, and had talked with David Freeman the day before, and we're working with our team in Jerusalem, and I get a call from the president. This was that night after the embassy moved. You remember the war was like six rockets from Gaza for like 10 minutes. And he calls me and says, just make sure, like, I'm going to be able to do this. Make sure it doesn't escalate. I said, you've got really good people that can make sure it doesn't escalate.
Yeah,
It was a great, momentous victory.
Yeah, speaking to those like threats at the UN, it was, a person who had your position, former Secretary of State John Kerry, said the Middle East would turn on fire. But we do see also another issue we talked about at globally was religious liberty. The importance of that as a human right is you don't really have human rights without religious liberty. It's part of why it's in our First Amendment in the United States. But at the foreign level, it's unique to me. It's something we didn't actually get to in the documentary, so it's unique for our radio audience today, is that there is a genocide ongoing of Muslims by the Chinese. And yet still, the UN and international institutions and bodies seem so afraid to acknowledge that, yet it seemed like to me if they were any different type of Muslims, or maybe if they were in different parts of the world would be, in uproar, rightly so, like that we should be now, like the U.S. is taking the position that there's the genocide, but the rest of the world, it's like these Muslims don't matter, and that's not terrible. How religious liberty works.
And Jordan, this is the power that China has over the international community. That's what you're seeing at play there. None of the large Muslim countries wants to acknowledge what they know is true, that there are a million Muslims held in internment camps, that they're being treated in ways that are historically horrific. But the power of China to influence the United Nations, the international human rights organizations, and frankly, by threatening commercial sanctions against regimes that even talk about this genocide, the Chinese have caused the quiet to permit this to happen.
It is such a tragedy that you have a million people in basically concentration camps of a sort, genocide going on, and the world acts like, well, I mean, it's China, so what can we do? Well, actually, a lot, okay? Chinese people are good people. It's the government that is the Communist Party of China. That's the problem. You know, we all come from a faith perspective. You do too. And our faith demands that we protect those that are being persecuted. As Christians, that's what we're supposed to do.
I reminded my team of this all the time. I'm an evangelical Christian, but we should all come at this from a faith-based understanding because it's at the center of who we are as Americans, right? This Judeo-Christian founding is who we are. So whether it was the freedom-loving people of Venezuela or the great Chinese people or the Iranians who were suffering or the people in North Korea who are suffering under the leadership of Chairman Kim, every place we go, if we work and build out frameworks for religious freedom, we will empower them. We will create more space for them to practice their faith, and we will have done a good turn for humanity and human rights.
I didn't ask this during the documentary either, but it's something I've wanted to ask you. You actually are one of the few people that have directly dialogued with Chairman Kim and have met him. What's your read of the situation with him? Is he controlled by others? Is that what?
So Chairman Kim has a big group around him, mostly military leaders who desperately want to cling to the very tyrannical power that they have. We really believed, and I haven't talked about this much, we really believed that we had an opening, that the conversations that the president had with him in Singapore and then in Hanoi, and the conversations that I and my team had had with their leadership and with Chairman Kim directly, created a space where he might well turn. But each time I think he was close to making that decision, he realized that the military was against it, and those senior military leaders had the weapons and an awful lot of power. And so his capacity to make those changes that I think Chairman Kim would like to have found a path forward on were just foreclosed.
This is why, folks, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Because of that, we're able to retain people like Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, that gives you an analysis like you just heard. And that is something that you're not getting every place else. And, of course, we also get the benefit of his expertise with all of our cases on religious freedom and, of course, also on the life issue.
That's right. On the life issue, we discussed that. The idea of going from what you call the most pro-life administration to the most pro-abortion. And it's not, I'll say it to people, it's not like previous administrations. Both sides, but especially Democrats more so than the Republicans, were extremely pro-life. It's never, but they weren't as hostile. Now we see the hostility to the individual, and we get into some detail in the documentary for the fall. But now we see the actual hostility is not just with being pro-life, but individual Americans. If you are pro-life, you are outside the mainstream. Your rights are not to be protected.
Jared, I have a sense they think they're losing this argument, and so they are going to become more hostile and more radical. Yep. They can see voices who before were perhaps agnostic on the issue, saying, no, these are lives, these are people that should be protected. I think this is a glorious thing. The more radical they become, the more we can belie the fact that they frame it as women's health. We provided more resources for women's health around the world than any administration in history. We simply denied our taxpayer dollars going to fund organizations that support abortion.
You know, in our documentary that's being put together, like I said, we were just in the studio recording a portion of it. We're going to also cover government accountability, education, the Constitution. So a lot more that we'll be able to get into in the special documentary we're putting together. But again, I just want to say thank you to our ACLJ members. Thank you today. We're in our matching challenge time, but the response has been just overwhelming. And I just want to, from all of us, from our legal teams, from our senior counsel, Mike Pompeo, to our video production teams and our teams around the globe, I just want to say, Jordan, thank you to our audience.
Yeah, that's right. As always, you can check out ACLJ.org. Secretary Pompeo's got a new piece up there almost every single week. It joins our broadcast. You can share those, too, with your friends and family at ACLJ.org. I encourage you, too, with our matching challenge, double the impact of your donation. You can donate online at ACLJ.org. We will be right back on Seculo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So I thought that was unique, and even on this Monday, while we were talking about Rashida Tlaib, because Secretary Pompeo was just in, I mean, that was just 36 hours ago where he was with us in the offices, and I think it kind of shows you the relationship, that it's not just that we've added him to the ACLJ team to be on radio, though I will say it is unique to be able to have, instead of just, you know, those quick moments on cable news, to be able to have these discussions with him on a twice-a-week basis, and then bring in Rick Rennell, who'll be joining us again this week. He's been traveling overseas. Again, there's not a lot of people right now traveling overseas to, you know, Serbia and Kosovo and Albania and places like that. He is. But I wanted to play for you to kind of get a sense of two of what we've been working on in the future for the ACLJ, especially for our broadcast and for our documentaries. But I do want to get back to this.
Yes.
On Rashida Tlaib, because I think this flashback, when you say, who is this person that is a member of Congress, this is what, remember what she had to say about the Holocaust? I mean, just to understand that everything she says is an attack on Jews. It always gets back to being an attack on Jews. For the way, the Holocaust, you can't separate that out between saying, oh, you know, I'm just don't like Zionists. I don't support Zionism or the Jewish state of Israel. I have no problem with Jews around the world, because that was Jews around the world. That was Jews, and that had nothing to do with Israel. And yet she still is a supporter there. That's how much her hatred for Jews is, how high it is. And it's why she never says, I don't hate Jews, in her statements. When she's pressured,
she makes statements like the one you're about to play.
So take a listen, Bite 10. This is a flashback to 2019.
Well, there's a kind of a calming feeling I always tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust, and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land, and some lost their lives, their livelihood, the human dignity, their existence in many ways have been wiped out. All of it was in the name of trying to create a safe haven for Jews.
I have to interject right here. I mean, as a person that had lost hundreds of family members in the Holocaust, what a despicable and disgusting statement from Representative Tlaib, and how she did not get censured or sanctioned for that by her House colleagues is unbelievable. So let me read it. But it's kind of calming feeling. I always tell folks when I think about the Holocaust, it's a calming feeling, Andy, when she thinks about the Holocaust?
Jay, I can't hardly. It is, and I'm not usually at a loss for words. I'm a lawyer and I speak. I'm a historian and I read. And when I hear somebody saying that the execution, the disintegration, the absolute destruction of over 6 million human beings by a terrorist regime in Germany under Adolf Hitler and his Nazi stooges can give you calm is not despicable. It's not horrible. It's not terrible. It's not just anti-Christian. It is something that I cannot even conceive of anybody uttering words like that.
You know, and this is, since it gives context, because that's 2019. Here she is in 2021, continuing to double down on these statements in this work, attacking Israel. This was just in May. Take a listen, Bite 19.
We need to stop and look at the fact that our own country is enabling it with billions of dollars every year being issued to Israel, even though they are promoting racism and dehumanization.
So she's on this, you know, this is her life calling,
yeah,
to denigrate the Jews of the world. And that's a pretty bold statement coming from me. But that's what her reason for existence is, to make statements like this. And unfortunately, in her own party, she does that unchecked.
I think you're precisely correct. So I think we can plainly state that her statements are indeed horrible, and they are also racist. And yet she claims that the Jewish state of Israel is racist. She ought to also remember that the Holocaust, and it was a very horrible event, it was done under the authority of what? A socialist regime, and she claims to be a socialist. So it's very, very important to keep in mind what totalitarian regimes are able to do with respect to human history.
And let me tell you something. She talks about her relatives, Palestinian relatives. This doesn't go for all Palestinians, of course. But some of her Palestinian relatives and the leaders of the Palestinians in the 1940s, like Yasser Arafat, you know who he was working with? Adolf Hitler. Let me say that again. Working with Adolf Hitler, Yasser Arafat. That's her lineage. So this is the fact that she gets away and then has the gall to send the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, a demand letter to start revoking the tax-exempt status of pro-Israel groups, which your American Center for Law and Justice is already responding to. We're on draft number 3 of this letter, legal brief that's going to go into Janet Yellen, and that the IRS has already done this once already this year when they said that this particular group educated Christians on a variety of issues, including U.S. and Israel relations, and that was a basis to deny their tax-exempt status. This is not pretend. This is real, but we are taking direct action. And I will promise you right now, if we have to go to federal court on this, we will do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is why it's important to point out, we do not just talk about these issues. This is one, too. We've known about the letter, and we've been working on it, and we've been going back and forth about when to talk about it on the air. Our response that we're working on, but then we saw this speech she gave last week to the Democratic Socialist National Convention via Zoom because they didn't have a meeting in person, and we realized, okay, this is someone, again, we're not just harping on some educator in some random place who's got no name. She has a vehicle to speak. She has got a group around her that supports what this position. There are people in the U.S. Senate that support this position, and this is not it's not mainstream yet in the Democrat Party, but let me tell you something. They're not rushing to push these people out.
No.
They're not making a statement by saying, you know what, we don't want you in part of our party, even if that jeopardizes our majority, because we believe you're promoting racism and you're promoting anti-Semitism.
Yep.
We want nothing to do with that in the Democrat Party. That'd be an easy way where she would have no voice anymore.
But
the reason
not.
Why she has a voice, and I know Than's not joining today, is because she gets to caucus with the Democrats and thus have a more important vote in Congress.
But the fact of the matter is, Andy, we only got about a minute left here. The fact of the matter is, this is not only wrong as a matter of law, but as you said, this is wrong as a matter of history.
Well, obviously no one reads history books anymore. They should read their history books. And if they understand history, they'll understand that, as the Patriarch of Jerusalem said to me, I know who the sovereign is here. And he pointed to the Holy Bible.
Yeah, well, there
that
you go.
That should say it all.
Yeah, yeah. Of which, by the way, the IRS says if you reference that, you could lose your tax-exempt status.
Yeah,
think about that.
And we're going to get further into that as well. Our response that we're working on, it's not yet public. We're going to get that to you. But let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You saw it.
We're still drafting.
Mike Pompeo was in the studio with us over the week and bringing the team in and being able to spend time with him for our documentary, but also for this broadcast as well. Let me just encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. It is how we're able to be involved in all these issues directly, not just talk about them. We have our matching challenge right now. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We will talk to you next time on Secular.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.